We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Time to find your local Ram dealer and get great deals on trucks worthy of your reputation. And right now, well qualified current lessees of competitive vehicles get a low mileage lease on the all new 2019 Ram 1500 Bighorn Crew Cab 4x2 for $379 a month for 36 months with $379 to its signing, tax, title, license extra. Your dedication goes beyond what's expected, and when you have the power of Ram trucks, you're pretty much unstoppable. See your local Ram dealer and hurry in for Ram Power Days. Call 1-877-RAM-5722 for details. Requires dealer contribution, at least through Chrysler Capital. Excludes all other FCA vehicles. 25-cent charge for each mile over 30,000. Residency restrictions apply. Take delivery by 10-1. Ram is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
Parents, you may have heard about a new product called Juul, and you may already know a little bit about vaping, but we want you to have all the facts before you talk to your kids, because the truth is complex, and at Juul Labs, we're committed to addressing both sides of it. True, Juul contains nicotine, which is addictive. Also true, smoking is the leading cause of preventable death in the world. Vaping is bad for kids and non-smokers. But vapor products like Juul can be a viable alternative for adult cigarette smokers. And parents should have the information they need about vapor products because kids may feel pressured to try it. And Juul is not for kids. We know it's hard to talk to your kids about something you're not 100% clear on yourself. So to learn more, visit JuulFacts.com. That's J-U-U-L Facts.com. Brought to you by Juul Labs. If you don't smoke or vape, don't start.
Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
Rematch, Canelo, Triple G. On Saturday, September 15th, it's champion versus champion, the sensational Canelo Alvarez versus the undefeated Triple G.
The best of the best. Huh?
And you not like the rest, now you better than the rest. It's the fight of your life. Who gon' be the winner? They can only be one.
Canelo versus Triple G2, Saturday, September 15th, 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific, live on pay-per-view.
Live on pay-per-view from Xfinity. Order with your remote or online now at Xfinity.com/boxing.
It's time to join the millions of people using Zoom video conferencing. Turn any size conference room, huddle room, or executive office into a Zoom room with flawless HD video, crystal clear audio, and instant wireless sharing. It'll even work with your existing hardware. Start your meetings with a single touch or use Zoom's new voice command feature. Hey Zoom, start meeting. Huddle happy. Visit Zoom.us to set up your free Zoom room trial today. That's Zoom.us. Zoom video conferencing.
Five Stripes supporters, join Sports Radio 92.9 The Game this Saturday, starting at 3 p.m. at Pizzeria Azuri off Browns Bridge Road and coming for the Atlanta United versus Colorado watch party. Get your friends and family together for delicious food and drinks, prize giveaways, and watch Atlanta United take on Colorado. Bring your scarves and bring your passion and join 92.9 The Game to cheer on Atlanta United at Pizzeria Azuri off Browns Bridge Road and coming.
Mercedes-Benz Stadium will be the home for Super Bowl 53, February 3rd, 2019.
The Super Bowl in Atlanta plays here. WZGC Atlanta, WZGC HD1, a radio.com station.
Atlanta Sports Radio.
Morning show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game from the Kia Studios. John and Hugh on this Thursday, getting ready for NFL football tonight on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We'll have the Ravens and Bengals, two 1-0 teams, meeting in Cincinnati. Our pregame at 8, the kick at 8:30. All leading you to college football tonight. We mentioned a number of the cancellations because of Hurricane Florence. You should, you know, kind of keep your. I don't know what kind of what it's going to be like Sunday around here, Hugh. With the remnants of the hurricane, but just keep that in mind. We could have some rain, and it's not going to be anything like the Port Carolina coast is going to get us.
No, it's not. But I know a lot of people are coming in town. They're here, as refugees to try to get away from the storm. Some people elected to stay there in Carolina, though, because they say, I think it got downgraded to Category 2. Was it AT Category 2? Yeah, they downgraded to Category 2, so they'd like to stay at home.
Right. I've seen a number of North Carolina players. Saw a few coming in this morning, too. In and around here. We're discussing a lot of things on our social media today, on our Facebook, 929 The Game, on our Twitter, at 929 The Game, like Do you have any weird injury stories like the Georgia State head coach, Sean Elliott, who tore his bicep in a fist bump against NC State last week?
Oh, yeah, we got to talk to coach about that.
A fist pump. Oh, it wasn't a bump. It was a fist pump.
No, it was a fist pump. Like, yeah. And it was like, yeah, pow.
Like in the air.
He didn't even touch anybody and he tore his bicep. Yeah. Yeah, and do you
There's
have any weird injury stories?
There's a lot of non-contact injuries, John. It happens.
Yeah, but that was pretty strange.
We hear it with baseball players all the time. There's strange injuries that happen.
Yeah. Was the Colorado shortstop that blew his knee out carrying deer meat up the stairs a few years back?
That's what he told us, but yeah. I don't believe that.
Howard Johnson of the Mets once tore his lats or something washing his car, didn't he? Wasn't that the case, Darren?
I remember that.
Yeah. Yeah, Howard Johnson, hotel man, all that kind of stuff. Weird, strange, odd injuries. So that's one of the discussions we're having on our social media today at 929 The Game. Falcons get ready for the Panthers. And much has been made, and rightfully so, about the Falcons' injuries. The Falcons, of course, are facing the prospect of having Keanu Neal out for the season and having Deion Jones out for a majority of the season. And again, all we can hope is that when he's eligible to come off the IR for game number 10 against the Dallas Cowboys in November, that he is able to come off. That means DeMonte KZ and Duke Riley going to be asked to do a lot. And Grady Jarrett was talking yesterday about how KZ and Riley, he says, they're ready to take the next step.
I mean, they're ready. You know, they're ready. They've both been making some good plays, and they're here for a reason. So, I mean, it's nothing new. It's nothing new, and we're excited for them to come out there and have a bigger role for us.
And then there's another guy, and that's the sixth-round pick out of Yale, Foye Oluokun. Now, I had to go – yesterday, Dukes and Bell were in the locker room with us, and they went over to interview – I saw Hugh go over to interview Foye, and I said to you, I said, I got to go over there because I wanted to jump in before their interview because I wanted to say, Foye, I have heard your name pronounced like four different ways.
Yeah.
And so I went over there, and Carl said, I'm going to ask them. That'll be the first question. So I just kind of listened in. I'm just about to mess it up.
Oluokun?
It's Ken. Yeah, it's Oluokun.
Oluokun. Oluokun. Like,
I thought that's what you just said.
Oluokun. Oluokun.
From Yale.
Smart guy.
Yeah, so smart guy. And, you know, so Oluokun is the way you pronounce it. Oluokun. I just have to get used to it. And Foye talking about, we'll just call it Foye. Foye talking about the fact that he's going to get his opportunity earlier than he thought to really have an impact on this team.
I think it's a good opportunity. I'm just trying to come out here. And as I said earlier, you know, play well for my brothers. You know, they're putting me out there in whatever position they're going to put me at, however many reps I'm going to get. I'm just trying to do my job, make sure I'm being accountable to them.
Yeah, what we have to hope for is you get the second-year guy to San Diego State and Kazee, the first-year guy Foye out of Yale, that those two guys, you know, kind of later picks, you know, really step up and suddenly blossom into players this year. I know certain things about Kazee are true. One, we saw him really shine in the preseason. I mean, but that's preseason football, Hugh. The second thing is his MO when he was in college was he was two-time Mountain West Conference Defensive Player of the Year, and he was a ball hawk. I'd have to go back and get the stats, but I'm going to be close. It was something like 16 to 18 interceptions in 2 years. I mean, that's how many he had. And for a team that doesn't get a lot of turnovers, to have a guy back there who is a ball hawk, who has a nose for the football to be able to get interceptions, he could have an impact on the team in a different way than a Keanu Neal would.
Yeah, you know, you're going to miss Keanu Neal. There's no question about that. But he can bring something different to the table. And I think that's what Coach Quinn is counting on, is that, you know, we're all like kind of smarting. We're smarting tremendously over the fact that we lost two Pro Bowl players within a couple of days of each other. But it's also an opportunity for some young guys to go out there and get an opportunity to play and show what you can do. Show what you can do. And if they'll show your value, same way that Devontae Freeman went about that, became a Pro Bowl running back, was the guy who got hurt here. They drafted Tevin Coleman to be the starting back. Tevin Coleman gets hurt in the preseason. Devontae Freeman takes full advantage of his situation. He never looked back.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect. That's a perfect story. And I'm pretty sure in some way, shape, or form, Coach Quinn has told that story in the locker room.
Yeah, and of course, we don't know about Devontae Freeman for Sunday either. He may be a game-time decision. He is sore is the word. He did not practice yesterday. Not listed on the injury report, but the Falcons did sign Brian Hill, that running back they drafted last year, back to the team here, just in case, I think. So we'll see about Devontae Freeman as a game-time decision against the Carolina Panthers on Sunday, as we talk about the Falcons and Panthers in the home opener, a 1 o'clock kick Sunday at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. a morning show with John and Hugh from the Kia Studios today. And, you know, a lot this season really going to ride on Matt Ryan. He's got the big contract. You know, you've got Julio Jones. He wants the big contract. This offense has to show out. Now, they didn't in the opening game. Ryan had one of the worst games I've ever seen him have as a Falcon. This offense, you know, and Dan Quinn preaching execution, he's preaching, you know, run pass balance and all these things he's talking about, which are all true, by the way. And we all know that everybody's on Sark, you know, about what he has or has not delivered to this team. This offense has got to produce, and they've just got to execute, especially in the red zone. They've got to find a way to get the ball in the end zone and start to and one of the ways you can do that, Hugh, is we've got to start, I think, taking more shots. Maybe you need to take more shots downfield. Calvin Ridley didn't have – almost called him Ryan Ridley. Calvin Ridley didn't have any completions. He had two targets?
Yeah, something like that. And one was almost picked. One was almost picked. I think, John – that you have to establish the run. It was tough last week establishing the run against that Philadelphia Eagles front, but that's where everything works off of. You see, this team is a heavy play-action team, but if the run's not working, the play-action is not going to be there. Mm-hmm. And that's what made it so difficult for them to get Calvin Ridley and Mohamed Sanu and other guys heavily involved into the passing game. Have to be able to run the football.
Yeah, and this is going to put Tevin Coleman front and center here to try and create stuff. Now, Carolina's got its own injury issues. We mentioned that Darrell Williams, who was second-team All-Pro at left tackle, blew his knee out. He's gone for the year. He got injured in the opening game. They were already missing Andrew Norvell, who went to Jacksonville as a free agent. Now they're going to be missing, apparently, Trey Turner, their right guard, their star veteran right guard. He is in concussion protocol. They're going to be without Greg Olsen, who's now out for possibly the year again. Boy, he has had just a run of bad luck, Greg Olsen, over the last couple of years. So you don't have your star tight end. Ian Thomas is pretty good, but he's not Greg Olsen. Now you're going to be missing your right guard and your left tackle, all guys that are key guys for Cam Newton in that passing game and in pass protection.
You know what? For me, as a former defensive end, I look at that and I'm licking my chops. You got two guys on the same side of the ball that are hurt. So that means you got two guys that aren't accustomed to being out there starting. Boy, you got to work those cats like a shift. You got to go after those guys. You got Trey Turner, who's in concussion protocol, and you got Darrell Williams that's out. So that means Greg Van Roten and Corey Robinson are going to be starting. If I'm Grady Jarrett and those guys, I'm like, I'm licking my chops. I'm going to feast. I'm trying to feast on Sunday because those two guys that aren't used to working together. I'm getting excited just thinking about it, just thinking about the matchup.
Yeah, that's where Tack McKinley comes in, right? That's his side of the line, correct?
Yeah, he's left end. He's left. Yeah, you're right, John Frick. Look at you, John Frick, you knowing stuff. Yeah, that's the right side of the line. Well, the left side of the line for attacking those guys. But, yeah, you got a feast. You have to take full advantage of that.
Yeah, this is where Tack and Vic and you know, let's not forget Brooks Reed.
And Cam's right-handed, right? So that's his front side. So Cam can see him. But still, you got to be able to beat those two cats like a drum. They shouldn't be able to run on that side, really. Because, like offensive timing. And you have two guys out there that aren't really, you know, they're probably getting all the reps now, but that's, you know, hey, they're not used to working together. And not only that, John, Corey Robinson is the backup for both tackles. He's the backup for both sides of the tackle. So, yeah. So somebody that's backing up somebody has been working at that tackle spot just in case. Since they've been decimated with offensive line issues, that somebody's working that tackle spot.
Yeah, but, you know, the thing is, and this is a truth too, and we all understand this, you know, based on the last two times the Falcons have played a game that counted, both times in Philadelphia, both times heartbreaking losses to the Eagles, and both times failing to get into the end zone on first down and goal inside the Philadelphia 10 in the final drive of the game, going 0-9 in those two games, otherwise – if they go 1-9, we all know what that means. It means a win. But they went 0-9 in those two instances. It doesn't matter in a way, and this is where my point is. Keanu Neal healthy, Debo healthy. If that offense can't produce points, that defense can't do it all. And so this offense has got to go back to being, to resembling the offense that took you to the Super Bowl in order to get to a Super Bowl. The offense of last year, which is what we kind of saw in the first game, ain't going to cut it, Hugh. It is just not going to work. And this offense has got to get back to that. You know, and it's so funny that they lost it. And was it Sark? What was it? I want to take you back. Can I take you back to Super Bowl year? They're playing Seattle in the playoffs, okay? Playoffs. They're playing Seattle. Eric Weems doesn't field a punt in the game. at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. The ball goes over his head at about the 10-yard line, bounces at the 5, and rolls out of bounds at the 1-yard line. The Falcons are 99 yards away because Eric Williams doesn't call a fair catch. That offense trotted out on the field. I saw Matt Ryan trot on the field going, yeah, no big deal. We got this in 99 yards. 7 plays later, bam, 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 down the field, touchdown. They had so much confidence they weren't going to be denied on anything. Now it's almost like they're playing so tentatively. It's like there's this unsure of what we're doing, or I'm not really sure what's going on in the execution, right? It's just weird.
You're right. I'm remembering that situation, John, and I had a response all loaded up. But the biggest difference between that team and this team is the offensive coordinator and the way that he got into certain formations that allowed you to execute. I think that's the biggest thing. Coach Quinn has alluded to that a little bit about guys needing to play better. Because, listen, I know that everybody likes to harp on the play calls and the plays and all this other stuff. It's not about the plays. It's about the execution and the way that you get into certain formations that allow you to execute better. That has been the issue. Fletcher Cox was a huge issue last week. In trying to get the running game going.
I understand that, yes.
You know what I mean?
And right. And Philadelphia's got a great defense.
Yeah, and sometimes, John, like the guys that you have, your guys are not going to be good enough. I mean, you know, I know it's the NFL and everybody is a certain level of parity, but sometimes your guys are just not going to be good enough. That's when the execution comes into play and the creativity of the play calling is a factor. I think that was the biggest issue.
Yeah, because this is the same personnel of the 2 years ago.
The creativity, the creativity of the play calling. Now the plays are the plays, but it's the way that you get into certain formations that'll confuse the defense a little bit, and that allows the players to go out and execute. That has been an issue. But with that being said, if the quarterback doesn't have time to throw the ball down the field, that makes it kind of hard for plays to develop, if you get my drift, especially when the running game is a non-factor for you. It makes it hard to get into certain formations or get down the field when guys are in your lap.
Well, this is why I think the fans, you know, I can't argue with any fan who says, you know, that Sark is the issue, because, again, you're talking about the exact same – it's the exact same – what personnel difference do we have? Oh, okay, Chris – exact same. You want to split hairs. Chris Chester's not the right guard, and Pat DeMarco's, you know, gone. All right, that's it. But aside from that, everybody else is exactly the same. And as much as we like a fullback, that's not the killer for you, okay? It's just not the game breaker. It didn't play enough to be a game breaker. I mean, it's just this. It's the same personnel. So, again, this is why I understand the frustration of the fans, and this offense has got to produce.
Yeah, and they got to be a little bit more creative as far as some of the things that they do to allow their running game to get going.
This hour is brought to you by Renter's Warehouse. When we get back, Braves off today, home tomorrow. Nick Green, Fox Sports analyst, joins us live after a CBS Sports Minute and Boomer Esiason.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Monday through Friday.
Swap things where you check your...
At the freaking goal line!
We're going to fill 5 hours of radio. You're going to love it.
And all through the weekend.
Football is easy. Coaches make it hard.
Just let me be a man.
The game is everywhere. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It is the morning show at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game with John and Hugh from the Kia Studios. On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, as we get ready for this weekend and all the big football that's going to be taking place, boy, do we have some baseball. Here come the Washington Nationals, who are red hot into the Braves' lair, where the Braves return home with a chance to really, I mean, on this homestand, final regular season homestand of the year, they can clinch, if they play everything right, during this homestand. We welcome into the program on the WadeFord.com hotline, Fox Sports South analyst, former Major League player, Nick Green, joins us
Nick. This
morning. Morning to you, Nick.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Nick, what has gotten into this Braves pitching as of late?
You know, they've always been capable of pitching as well as they are lately.
Mm-hmm.
But I think a lot of it has to do with rest. I like the 6-man rotation, giving the starters an extra day of rest. They've been trying to do that for about a month now. The bullpen's finally gotten some reprieve down there with the addition of some guys in September. I think that's helped as well. I was just looking at Brad Brock. He hasn't pitched since the ninth, and that's a good thing because these guys are getting overused. So I just think it's rest is the big thing, and I'll tell you what, they could have started to pitch better at a better time than this.
Nick Green joining us. Nick, all you need to say when you say, is this a special season for the Braves? You say, well, you know, we were in San Francisco with two outs in the ninth inning when Tyler Flowers beat out an infield hit to win a game for us. And that's kind of that kind
that's
of defines
part of this
it.
Game. You didn't know that? Yeah, you know, there have been like three times this season where you look at the Braves and say, it might turn in the wrong direction. And all of a sudden they come back and they reel off, you know, four or five wins in a row. I don't know. You just can't doubt this team. It's been crazy. That Boston series was insane. They could have won a couple of those games, and they lost. They got swept in that series, and the last game of that series was awful. If you guys remember, Brandon Phillips hit that home run to win that game. That was a tough loss. Snit said that was the toughest loss of the season for them. And then they come out and go 6-1 on the road trip. So I don't know. I mean, this team struggled on the West Coast. They go out and win 6 out of 7. On the trip, it just seems like they'd never quit. They don't let what happened in the previous days or months or whatever affect them. And it's been fun to watch.
Yeah, there's no question about that. It's been so fun that my co-host here has been, like, he's been on an emotional roller coaster ride with the Braves so far. But I'm going to ask you a question that we've been kind of kicking around all morning long. Is Ronald Acuna the NL MVP in your eyes?
I don't think he could be MVP. He hasn't even played 100 games yet. But there's no doubt he's going to probably get some votes. I think he should get some votes. And if he played the entire season, absolutely. I just don't think he's played enough games. I think he's close to wrapping up the Rookie of the Year award. I was just looking at Soto, and Soto's a monster. But he's got 19 homers, and he's hitting over 300. I love watching him hit. But I think he's got the Rookie of the Year wrapped up. I don't think he's going to win the MVP, and I don't think he should, just because of the fact he hasn't played as many games as the other guys.
You know, you mentioned a guy, Juan Soto. You're talking about Ronald Acuna Jr. You're talking about a bunch of other young players in baseball right now. What has been the biggest change that allows these young players to come up and be so, like, productive? They're not having to stay down as long. Why are they coming up and being so productive so fast?
Well, they're much more mature than guys used to be, for one. And the other thing is, teams are not afraid to let them fail at the big league level. If you look at Ronald Acuna, when he came up, he struggled a little bit. They had him in the 5-6 hole. That's not really where he's comfortable at. And all of a sudden, he gets hurt, come back. And he starts to swing the bat better. They move him to one spot, and all of a sudden, he takes off. Well, also, he has Ozzie Albies, one of his best friends, playing at the big league level. They have Yoan Camargo, the young guy. They're not afraid to let these young guys play and perform and fail at the same time. And I think that's one of the main reasons that they're able to succeed at such a young age. When I was playing, a lot of times you would see one young guy get an opportunity, failed for 2 weeks, and they wouldn't give him an opportunity for another year. And that's just not the case anymore. Ozzie Albies last year came up, and he struggled out of the gate. First 50 at-bats, I think he hit like 200. Everybody was wondering what the big fuss was about this guy. They let him fail and let him figure it out. And then all of a sudden this year he's had a really good year. So I think it's just a combination. These teams allowing these guys to play at such a young age, and also there are more young players that they fit in together, and it just meshes really well.
Talking with Nick Green, Fox Sports Braves analyst on Fox Sports South. Nick, a couple of quick questions here. Any update on Aroides Vizcaíno?
I don't have any update on him. Hopefully he comes back. I think that would be a big boost. You're probably not going to see him in big, high-leverage situations if he does. So I think they are expecting him back at some point soon, but I don't think you're going to see him in closer roles or that type of thing. I think it might be a little bit too much.
One of the discussions that you and I were having, and so these are the discussions, Nick, that you have to start having, the postseason discussions now, because 7.5 up, 16 to go, this is a foregone conclusion. It's just a matter of when. As you do, one of the things the Braves are going to have to figure out, let's say they can clinch before the end of the regular season, prior to, you know, either before or during the road trip that they take at the end of the year, and they have a few days off, it might allow them to start a Max Fried, a Tuki Toussaint, even a Colby Allard or something, to allow their starters not only to get extra rest, but to allow their starters to work into the rotation that you will use for the postseason. Is Fulton Everett your number one guy? And if so, who's number two, Newcomb or Tehran?
I'm going Fulton Everett for my number one. I've said that throughout the year, even though he hadn't gone deep into games and until recently, which is good news for the Braves. I'm going Gausman number two. Mm. And then you're looking at 3-4. I hate to say this, but I don't know if Newcomb stays in there or if Tehran stays in there. I'm not sure. Both of those guys have been up and down. And Newcomb had a great start the other day, which was good to see. Anibal Sanchez is a guy that you trust. He's a veteran guy. You're going to go with a four-man rotation, so what do you do? Do you take Gausman, Folty, Tehran, and Newcomb and leave Anibal as the long guy in the pen, or do you put Newcomb in the pen as the long guy? I'm not sure. I'm glad I don't have to make those decisions.
Well, some of that, Nick, may be due to whether or not the team you're playing responds to or doesn't respond to left-handed pitching, and Newcomb being your left-handed starter.
That's where Newcomb falls into play, too. Okay. Because if you notice what the Braves have been doing with him, if they can, they're giving him an extra day. He's been a whole lot better with extra day's rest, and he's been a whole lot better against teams that struggle against left-handed pitching.
And cooler weather, apparently.
Well, yeah. If you look at Newcomb's last five starts before this last one where he went six innings, he had a 7.99 ERA. Not the right time to be struggling. So I think that plays a part into it. If you ask me before his last start, I would say I go with Anibal and Tehran as the 3-4 guys.
Yeah,
leave Newcomb off. But he pitched so well last time. What do you do? You got to see him pitch a couple more times.
Right. It surprised me a little bit that you said Gausman at two. Go with that a little bit. What has he done? I mean, we've seen this, but I mean, he's impressed you so much that he could potentially be the number two starter in the rotation in the postseason, huh?
I think so. Well, you'll get the rotation. It's Anibal struggled a little bit lately. Newcomb, like I said, had been struggling. Tehran's been so up and down, although he's pitched better since August. So I love what Gossman's brought to the table. I like his stuff. He's been there before. He's been on winning teams. I think that plays a factor as well. But really, since he's been here, he's only had one bad start, and that was the last start. So he's a guy that's been efficient. He's been able to go 6 to 8 innings every time out, and that's what you want in the playoffs. So I say Gausman number two.
Talking with Nick Green, Fox Sports analyst for the Braves.
You know, Nick, you dropped some good science on us this morning. I'm going to ask you another question because me and my partner's been kicking this around a little bit this morning as well. He has the Braves going to the World Series and winning it. Do you think the way this team is constructed as is right now could make that push in the playoffs and make it all the way to the World Series?
I think it'll be tough. But, just like I said before we opened this conversation up, is this team has surprised everybody all year long. And I feel like they're a team that is going to get hot at the right time. They're hot right now. The playoffs are all about getting hot. Who's hot at the right time? Are they confident? Are they playing well together as a team? Are they doing the small things? And that's one of the things the Braves are starting to do more of, mm-hmm. the small things, which I've been griping about for a while now. You get a guy on second base with nobody out, and you can't get him over. They're starting to try to do that more now, which is good to see, playing a little small ball. All that stuff plays in the playoffs. Every single run counts. And I don't think you can count them out.
Yeah, two other things playing the playoffs, in my opinion. One is defense. They are sterling defensively. They're a great defensive team. And
They are.
There's that. And people discount these, pitching and hitting. Defense means something because it allows your pitchers to relax. It bails you out. It did yesterday on the great double turn by Dansby. Lost in that 2-1 win was the double play in the first inning. I mean,
The other thing, too, that you can't forget is – this team's young, and they're going to make mistakes. These guys haven't been in this type of situation, this type of pressure at the big league level before. So when you look at that Boston series, they had a run of like 7 games where they made 9 errors. Well, how do they adjust to that, and how do they move on from it? They've shown that they can do that, and they're making adjustments defensively, offensively, from the pitching standpoint. They just keep learning, and that's the best part about it. If you go into the playoffs on that stretch of 9 errors in 7 games, then you start to panic. This team's way better defensively than that, but they're learning and they continue to learn every day. And that's one of the awesome parts about letting these guys play. No panic by Snicker. He keeps running the same guys out there, letting them fail and figure it out. And that stuff helps when you go down to the stretch and you get into the playoffs.
Nick, appreciate your taking a few minutes. We look forward to the Nats coming into town. One of the games against the Cardinals next Tuesday already sold out, according to the website. So going to be a lot of passion for the Braves in this final homestand of the regular season. Thanks, Nick.
Thank you, guys.
Nick Green joining us this morning on the WadeFord.com hotline. Well, going to be a big week next week. You're going to have the Cardinals in town. You're going to have the Phillies in town for the Braves. And you're going to have the huge event down at Eastlake, the golf tournament, Eastlake Golf Club next week. Right now, the first caller at 404-741-0929 who can answer our questions is going to win two passes.
Everybody stand up!
It's time for a look at the world of sports, celebrities, and more. This is the Wendy Zone on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Well, we've all by now heard of Hurricane Florence. It's definitely impacting some of our college football games, and now it has impacted UGA's game against Middle Tennessee on Saturday. So instead of the 7:15 p.m. kickoff, they have moved kickoff to noon at Sanford Stadium. The game will be televised on ESPN News and will live stream on the ESPN app. But if you are heading to Athens for the game on Saturday, note it is a noon start time now instead of 7:15.
Yeah, precautionary measures, trying to get people in and out, trying to get them where they need to go, because, you know, 7 o'clock at night, there's no telling what potentially could be wrong, and, you know, people stranded or whatever. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
We just don't know the direction of the storm. I've seen so many different models and news reports of the direction. They're just still trying to figure it out.
Yeah, not only that, I got some phone calls telling me to be careful with the storm coming to town. I'm like, wow, because they said it potentially could hit Georgia. That's what mm-hmm. some of my friends were telling me, and I'm like, wow, interesting. So, yeah, just trying to be safe, just trying to play it safe.
Yeah, so Georgia, again, a noon start now on Saturday.
Well, a Harris poll released some pretty interesting results, and I find it troubling being a food person, but it was just released and has put Taco Bell as the best Mexican restaurant in the United States. Over 77,000 people were surveyed in this Harris poll. So they assess over 3,000. Okay, hold on. They assess over 3,000 brands, because we're going to talk about this to you. 3,000 brands in more than 300 categories. The study revealed the strongest brands in three categories: familiarity, quality, and purchase consideration. Now, the other choices in the category included like Baja Fresh, Chipotle, Del Taco. I'm not sure of the main Mexican restaurants included, but while I do love Taco Bell, and again, we still need to do the Taco Bell challenge where I can definitely eat 12 tacos in a sitting, no question, it's not the best Mexican restaurant.
Is it a Mexican restaurant?
I don't consider it a Mexican restaurant.
It's
fast food. Restaurant.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I consider it like,
see, to me, like Rubio's is CalMex and this is Tex-Mex.
La Perella. Like, that's a Mexican restaurant.
You know, I mean, because, I mean, you're not going to get Menudo and Caldillo and, you know, Gazpacho and all those great Mexican dishes at these places. You're going to get... You're going to get an enchilada.
Gordita crunch.
I tell you what, though.
Don't Taco sleep Bell. On that, though. That's
no tamales there.
Taco Bell hit the spit hot.
Look, you won't get a chalupa at those places either, Jim.
No,
you
I know.
But I would put, like,
or
any...
double stuffed gordita cheese monster-y thingy.
Real talk, though, that's probably ignorant on us to have that poll and put that as a real Mexican restaurant. Whoever did this poll as a real Mexican restaurant.
You said Harris, right, Wendy?
Yeah, it was a Harris poll.
Yeah, Harris is legit.
That's kind of... Yeah,
and 77,000 people were polled.
Okay.
77,000 people.
Sorry.
I don't understand. That's a little ignorant. I think that poll right there, I understand that Harris's a reputable company, but that's a little ignorant right there.
Yeah, go get you a bowl of Caldillo and eat some tamales and have some sopapillas and real Mexican.
Let me tell
food,
you what else is on this list. Burger restaurant, they have Five Guys Burger and Fries.
Where were they?
What are they listing?
For Mexican food?
No, I just said burger restaurant.
Oh, okay.
Oh, my. Wow.
Bruh. You about to get up in arms on that thing.
Everyone
just about to get up in arms on that thing.
Everyone just
you ready to come across the desk?
So for chicken restaurant, Chick-fil-A won that one.
Chicken restaurant?
Yes.
See, not seriously?
Yeah, it's not a chicken restaurant. There's no fried chicken that...
I have a problem with this poll. Now I definitely have a problem with it. I don't think of Chick-fil-A as a chicken. I know that's all they do. I know that.
They do chicken.
They do
but
chicken,
it's really
but it's not.
Good.
Okay, fine. Maybe it's me and I'm stuck in my old ways. But I don't think of them as a chicken restaurant.
Well, that one I could see more so than Taco Bell being the best Mexican restaurant.
Yeah, I got you.
For coffee shop, Krispy Kreme.
Huh? Or Dunkin' Donuts?
Or over
Starbucks, man. Yeah.
Who well, voted Starbucks, for this? Starbucks doesn't deserve to be on there because who spent $92 for a coffee?
Who was the demographic of this poll?
Oh, I guess.
It had to be some yuppies.
Yeah, because I would have voted for Racetrack.
Not necessarily yuppies. Let's see. Best pizza chain, Blaze Pizza, which LeBron James is part owner in.
Blaze?
So where the hell's Blaze?
They're from California.
No.
LA people.
No.
That could be all over the place.
Is Blaze here?
Yes,
where?
Right in Smyrna. It's right off of Cobb Parkway.
Oh, you almost had me. I'm not riding to Smyrna to go get a pizza.
They just start pushing Blaze out west like that.
I'm not driving to Smyrna.
It's by SunTrust Park.
I'm not. I'm still not going to do it.
You mean like in the battery? I thought Antigua's was.
Where was Pizza Hut on this list?
Yeah.
I don't have those results. Guys, stop yelling at me over a poll I didn't do.
Well, you are the food reporter.
Everyone yelling at me?
Blast me. What are they doing?
Let's
I'm sorry, Wendy. I won't give you a list like that anymore.
Drats.
He said drats.
Oh, my gosh.
And double drats.
That was a terrible list, though.
I'm sorry, Hugh. It was a terrible list. Well, do you guys remember the interview after the Sunday night football game between the Packers and the Bears where Aaron Rodgers, you know, came back after hurting his knee and led the Packers to that comeback win over the Bears? Well, some fans thought he seemed sort of off during his post-game interview with sort of a strange Southern accent.
You know, I went in the locker room, did all the tests in our indoor facility trying to get it loosened up. But I knew once I got back on the field, the adrenaline started going, I'd be able to hang in there.
What was the injury?
Well, my knee. You know, I just felt something in it. Just having a hard time putting weight on it.
My knee. But anyway.
He was a little loopy?
Yeah, Bobby Hebert is calling you. Where's Bobby when you need him? Hey.
So some fans did speculate that he was on pain medication, and a reporter in the locker room asked Aaron Rodgers about it yesterday.
Was that worth the adrenaline and or risking pain meds that you might have taken talking after the game?
Definitely wasn't any pain meds. I'm not a big believer in general in any type of opioid or pain medicine. Obviously you want to be out there.
Okay, this is my theory on the accent. He's dating Danica Patrick, and Danica Patrick sort of has like a Southern draw to her talk. So I think when you hang around certain people, like if I go to Texas, I will come back with a little bit more of a Southern draw because my dad has a Southern draw. And in Texas, there is a Southern draw. So I think it's just dating Danica Patrick.
So you're sitting here thinking in that moment of him being writhing in pain that he got Danica Patrick on his brain and he's talking with a draw that he then dropped. In the press conference that he just had, that we just played,
yes.
No, he was high.
Because he was high.
I'm going to go with painkillers.
And you know what? Allegedly, yeah, because we don't want to get in trouble. No. Somebody talking about, I said Aaron Rodgers out there high. But I'm a firm believer in opioids, especially when I played, because they were awesome. And they make you feel better. I'm just saying.
Children, if you are listening, that is not
But it's not. I'm saying, but you have to be a professional. I'm a professional. And it was during professional moments where opioids were being administered. Yeah. I'm a professional. Kids don't do this at home because I'm a professional.
Hugh, should we ask you the same question the room before?
It'll get you drunk. Have you seen my movies?
Hey, the Falcons are going on a big cruise to the Caribbean this spring break coming up next year. The Falcons Radio Network.
John, do you want to be asked the same question?
No, I got Arthur in my ear screaming. Do the promo.
Spit it out.
You said a word earlier today that probably
I dumped the show. I've been dumping you a lot today, bro.
Royal Caribbean, Grady Jarrett, Deion Jones, Rico Allen, Devondre Campbell, Wes Durham, and Dave Archer from the Falcons Radio Network going on a cruise during spring break. You can book your cruise vacation today, 92.9 The Game. .com on the events page. Oh my God, help me get me out of here. Rick and John are next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.